child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking for I knew it. And as he grew, he'd say, I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna be like you. And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad, come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today, I got a lot to do. He said, that's okay. And he walked away, but his smile never dimmed. Said, I'm gonna be like him, yeah. You know I'm gonna be like him. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, the little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when, then you know we'll have a good time then. Well, he came from college just the other day, so much like a man I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you, can you sit for a while? He shook his head and he said with a smile, what I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later, can I have them, please? And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, Dad. You know we'll have a good time then.
Good morning, everyone, and a happy new year to all. This is our first show in the new year. Today we begin the new year with a series of programs about success and the visual artist. But the first in our series is about young artists, and we're going to be talking with two young artists from the Maryland area, one right here from Tacoma Park and one from Rockville, Maryland. This show will be titled Success for the Young Aspiring Artist. Sheila, why don't you introduce our special guests, and we thank them for agreeing to do this show live to the world.
All right. Well, the guest I've brought is Eliza Wapner, Eliza Singerman Wapner, and we call her Lizzie, but I'm going to try to stick with her professional name. And Yanni McAllis, who is an old student of Tom's. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes. And these two people are pretty recently out of art school, and that's what we're going to talk about, is life after art school.
See, Eliza, why don't you tell our listeners a little about yourself?
So I'm from Tacoma Park. I grew up here and went to local high schools, and then I went to Syracuse University, where I got a BFA in studio arts. There I studied I started in the fashion design program, and that didn't end up going the way that I wanted it to, and I switched to industrial design, and then kind of just ended up in the sculpture, fibers, make-your-own-major part, experimenting. And I graduated in 2016 and have been trying to do art through residencies and different venues since then.
Fantastic. How about you, Yanni?
Hi. I went to University of Maryland, Baltimore County. And I went in doing graphic design, and as I kind of progressed through the college experience, I started finding my way into different art classes, eventually studying abroad in New Zealand, where I did fine arts almost the entire time. And I guess through that entire process, I really got my hands within charcoal and within line art. And so graphic design kind of progressed more into fine arts towards the after college experience.
Oh, terrific. Guys, I have to ask you, have you ever done live radio, Eliza?
I was on Tacoma Park Radio a few years ago just by chance. And I had a radio show for a semester in college, but it was just to the internet. But
yeah. Oh my goodness, that must have been a fantastic experience.
It was
right?
really fun, yeah.
Oh, good for you. And Yanni, are you a first timer on live radio?
Well, in high school, me and my friends actually had a radio show called the Bermuda Rectangle. And this is like kind of just came to me.
That's great.
It was a satirical radio show where we just, kind of like The Onion, where we just made up stories and just spoke about it. Very hilarious.
Oh my God. You know, Sheila, you guys are, pros compared to Sheila and I.
When new to radio.
You know, Sheila, we were young artists too, right?
Way back when,
do you remember?
Yeah.
What about that? You know, how did you feel when you were a young artist?
Well, I spent about 2 years in a really terrific art school, and then I got pregnant, and I dropped out, and I didn't really think about it. Like, oh, well, I'm dropping out. And it didn't occur to me that I wouldn't continue to be an artist. I knew that. And somehow I have, through thick and thin, but later on I thought, why did I do that? But then, that's life. So later on, I went to an adult education program at Goddard College in Vermont, and I got a master's degree. And what I got from my education really was a sense of purpose, that being an artist was a very high goal, and the resources that I could find for what I needed. And also that writing was important. It was important to write in order to clarify my ideas.
Oh, thanks so much for saying that, Sheila. You know, sometimes another art form kind of supports that art form that you have, and we really have to share that. I know that our guests today have a lot about that to talk about. Well, I never had a undergraduate degree in art, and I was a biology major, but the concept of being an artist in New York City in the mid and late 1970s appealed to me because it was like really hip, but it didn't appeal to my parents. But I liked art and science, so I put it together, and I did my graduate work at medical school, and I was a medical and biological illustrator, so I kind of forced that issue with myself. So I could totally, see that I look back on it and says, it was a tough haul, but I kind of had to have the happy medium to keep my parents happy. And this wasn't that they were paying for my education, because they weren't, but I wanted to keep them. But I have no regrets about that either. Liza, did your undergraduate educations, did they support, did they prepare you for the real art world?
Well, I do think, with my school specifically, it was a big research school. It's a STEM school. And so the way I came about art within that school is very much research-based. So graphic design I view very technical, so I learned how to really get into a project. And in many ways, I do think it educated me quite strongly. And it allowed me to really balance, because my interests lie a lot more within art, kind of more chaotic, expressive. But I think it's very important to have that juxtaposition, to be able to do something that you're not comfortable with. And if anything that I learned from that school is how to do something that I was not comfortable with, and how to push through even when I didn't think I would be able to finish it.
Ah, very nice.
Yeah, I think in some ways it prepared me in terms of like what you're talking about, in terms of teaching me technique and being able to kind of make anything. I remember I met a friend and she was like, yeah, I went to art school and now I can survive the apocalypse. And I really feel like I can make anything, and that's really awesome. But in terms of figuring out how to survive and make money and eat and do simple things like that, I think they didn't really focus on that. I had one class where my professor made us make a website, which has saved me, and kind of talk about the art world. But other than that, it was very technique-based, which I loved, but I think that once you're out of art school, can only take you so far in the real world.
I think that's great advice that Eliza's giving our listeners. Sheila, how about us? I mean, did you get any like kind of advice on how the real world was?
Oh, no. In fact, it's the opposite. It's like being an artist is everything, and you don't compromise. I mean, you just have to stick with it. But I have often thought that art schools ought to at least provide guidance to take some kind of skill
training so that you can do something that you can make enough money to survive, you know, either like woodworking, plumbing, something, carpentry, something that really will pay your rent.
And a business mindset. I think that's something that's lacking in a lot of art schools.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for it's sure. You know, I agree with Sheila. In the 70s, they pushed you out of school and you're on your own, kid.
Yeah.
You know, and especially in New York City, it was very intimidating. And there was almost, like, almost kind of, there was a disdain from the professors. They almost like kind of wanted you to either flap your wings and fall from the sky or you know, fail. It was a very odd situation. So what, you both had these aspirations of goals of getting out of school. It's just to make art. How did that work for you, Eliza? Did you just want to like gangbusters get out of school, school and start pounding the pavement? Did you have that in you?
A little bit. When I was in school, I applied to some residencies, which really helped kind of like my summer after. I went to a place called Art Farm in Nebraska, which was a residency, and that was really cool to be able to see like older artists and all different types of artists, writers, and kind of just come together and like what that would look like. So that was really helpful. And then and then I did some traveling and some residencies abroad, which has been really helpful. But since moving back and kind of focusing on creating community, like in a steady space, it's been challenging to kind of do it on an everyday level in a conceptual way rather than just, I make clothes too, but that's kind of like a different, I wouldn't say it's like conceptual art. So yeah, there's definitely a balance.
Ah, see, I think this is great. I mean, I think your attitude and the things that you've done are really healthy. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's a very healthy attitude for a young artist. Yanni, how about you? Did you just come out of college gangbusters making art on your own? How did you approach that?
You know, definitely actually making art on my own. That's some the biggest lesson I had to learn. And actually the trickiest part actually is that I get a lot of energy in art, being around other people and kind of feeding that energy. And I've been thrusted actually on my own. I'm not around a lot of artists right now. So a big focus of mine is getting to that point where I'm able to live around artists and so I can do that. But it's kind of has two sides to it because I've had to adapt and I've had to learn how to be independent minded and force myself to make art and so I can grow. It's realizing that even if you're not at the place you want to be at, being able to take these baby steps that when you get to that point, you will be able to fly.
Yeah. Oh, wow. These are really two healthy attitudes we got here in the studio. Sheila?
Well, I think what you've just said, both of you, is so important because when you're in art school, you have all of these people with a sense of purpose, and it's a wonderful feeling. And then you go home, and then or wherever you're going to go, and suddenly that's not there anymore. And it's like, well, how are you going to make a living? And how there's so many other things. And it's really, I think it's really necessary to form a community of artists. And for myself, I fortunately had I had artists that were my friends, and we kept in touch, you know, and we'd talk about art, but it wasn't the same thing, you know, at all.
Yeah, no, it really is. I think things have changed. So how do you both maintain your kind of essence with creative activities that are not necessarily visual art since you left? Mm-hmm. Do you have any creative ventures that feed your soul? I mean, because that's something that artists talk about all the time. So do you guys want to kick in? And what about you guys? I mean, what other creative venture keeps you going and feeds your visual art possibly?
For me, the biggest part, I think, and sometimes it's actually a big battle between the two, but music is a really big passion of mine. And it's tricky because there's moments where I'm just drawing and then I'll suddenly just want to go pick up a guitar or the piano and play that for hours. And it's tricky because, like, the master of none, but being able to do many things, I'm hoping that it all will connect itself eventually. But it definitely feeds the creative energy. Well, I think all creative energy stems from the same place. It's just understanding where it's branching out, where it's coming out of.
Very good. So you got the music. How about you, Liza?
Yeah, so, well, I guess this is kind of like visual too, but I've been making and selling clothes, use like hand-making clothes and naturally dyeing them. And I think that it's kind of more of like a research project plus making real things for me. So that, yeah, definitely feeds into like learning and always kind of creeping that aspect to it. Yeah, and I also teach art after school, so I feel like that kind of feeds my own practice, being able to like just hang out with kids and have them experiment and inspire that kind of newness and studentness in me.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. I want to hear a little more about this clothes making, because that's something that I'm fascinated by, textiles you know, it's another niche, mm-hmm. you know, within the fantastic world of art. And you know, how did, because you said you started out as a fashion person, a fashion major. And you know, I mean, because I think one of the problems with education is that we put them in these niches.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, a fashion artist, a graphic designer, industrial designer, you know, they feed into each other. And
yeah.
I think that's one of the problems with contemporary education, where, you know, your fashion design, it really becomes fine art.
Yeah.
And I think that this is a very important kind of cross-pollination, which is, for young artists, it's like, Yanni just talked about the music. It's really important, you know, to feed it up. So tell us a little more. What inspires you when you, and you said about hand dyeing. I mean, that's something that really excites me. So what about that? I mean, how do you approach that?
I studied fashion and textiles, and I just think it's such an interesting realm. There's like so much, I think, that goes into fashion, into like putting yourself in clothes. I think it's like this really interesting intersection of like personality, politics, and like process. And especially like fashion, I stopped the fashion design world because it was super superficial. Like, I went to an internship on New York, and it just didn't suit me, and I thought it was like pretty terrible. But there's also like all this, like, I think there's like this move afoot. Like, I feel like fashion's where like the organic food industry was like 20 years ago. Like, people are just starting to realize that it's like plant and animal, and like, and especially with natural dyes, it's like a very long process. And it's like very much from the earth. So I kind of try to like think a lot about that when I'm making, and it's hard. It's a lot of like just making to fulfill orders now, but I just think it's like really interesting, and I hope like in this new year I can like come back to all these ideas that I have through making clothes. So I have this little business called Little Bits Cloth that where I make things and sell them under. So yeah, that's, I don't know if that answers.
No, my goodness, yeah, it's like fantastic. Yeah. But the key word that she said is the process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She's still engaging in process, and I think that is so important in that. And Yanni, you mentioned something to me earlier about this kind of what the graphic design doesn't really always fit the bill. I mean, in the sense, because, like, you know, you're working by yourself in front of your computer, and you know, so you want to be engaged in a larger audience, and maybe that's where music is, people listen to. So how does that work for you, in that gets you out there in a different way?
That's been one of the biggest wake-up calls. When I left college, it took me the entirety of college to realize, I guess, my own personality and how my own personality fit into my career choices. And because I just assumed I could do art when I was within high school, I loved graphic design, and because I could just be on the computer and make artwork. But what it didn't realize is that I have a lot of trouble being alone in a room on a computer all day.
Yeah,
it's really difficult.
I think a lot of us can relate to that.
And it's for some people. No, I know a lot of people that they love that. They love being alone. They love just working all day and just getting better and better at it. But I require that tactile communication of just being with people and feeding that energy and learning and expressing through mutual growth.
Mm.
I guess that's how it goes for me.
See, they both use the word about learning and growing yeah. and educating themselves. I mean, this is, you know, such healthy stuff. I mean, you know, and hearing it from young people, because, you know, Sheila and I, we're on the, you know, we're going to have a show about us in a few weeks. and but, you know, I think that's really great. Sheila, shoot a question there for
Well, I wanted to say, because both of you are saying, like, that you have ideas that you're, and I think what I said about writing being a clarification of your goals, I hope that you write your ideas down, even if you can't implement them, but keep it going, because it's so valuable. And also, you know, life has a lot to, I guess what I want to say is, you can't really predict what's going to happen to you. Like, I was struggling for so many years, and then suddenly I was in a position to be supported to do art, and that was sort of, I didn't even see it coming. It was like, oh my God, I get to be a full-time artist now. I didn't even know, after a paper route and working in a sandal shop and writing an advice column, I did all of these things to pull in money, and sign painting, that was a really good one. Because I had taken calligraphy in art school, but you never know what those skills are going to be for you.
And, so, you know, I think what you said about, you know, writing them down, I mean, keeping a journal, because I was thinking about this the other day. I'm actually, the work that I'm doing now is something that was fueled like 30 years ago. And it's like, you know, in some ways it feeds back into your life. It's a kind of, I think it's kind of a creative memory. And mm-hmm. I think that's really important. So the things that you're thinking about now might surface 30 years down the road. And you're going to go, wow, I remember I thought about that. I remember I put that down somewhere. And I think that's, again, it's about the growth and, you know, kind of feeding that. So what kind of art are you both doing now? I mean, fine art, in the fine art realm. What are you guys doing now? You want to jump in there and share with other projects that you're really excited about?
Right now, I'm kind of in a tricky space, so I can't paint as much. I can't make a mess. And when I paint,
we love messes.
No, I'm a very explosive painter, and I will make a mess around me, and I'm not in a situation where I can do that. So I'm working a lot within fine art, the line drawing with pen, because you can get very detailed, and I'm starting to find, I'm kind of working on a project that relies a lot on kind of chaotic expression, just constantly built, almost like a form of clay sculpture, where you just keep pushing things out, sculpting it down, and I'm filling up a page of this and then trying to see what patterns can be made within it. So for me, within art, and it's kind of dealing with different themes, and right now the big theme is chaos versus order, in my life in general. So
he's being true to his craft. You know, we'll talk a little more about, because chaos and order, I think that's a lot of us right now in the contemporary world are dealing with that. I mean, is that something that you embrace?
Oh, definitely. Absolutely embrace. Well, because I think you can't have chaos without order. And if you have both in the extremes, they're both, it's too much. We can't handle it. So when you can find a point, the equilibrium, I like to think of the metaphor of tuning a guitar. Sometimes you get out of tune, but I think when you can manage to get on the right frequency, it's a very beautiful process, and you can feel satisfaction from it. I think the biggest, what I'm trying to accomplish now with an art is feeling satisfaction within my art. And that's not always easy, because I think we have a lot of pressure that your art should be a certain way. But when it's a very honest expression, and I think when it reaches both that chaotic and orderly level, it's very satisfying.
Very good.
Yeah, it sounds really interesting. So making art in the last year has been kind of challenging. I work in like sculpture when I'm not doing clothes, and installation art, and you know, it's kind of big stuff. So it's been hard to kind of like find a space and a deadline, really. So I've been, you know, making the clothes mostly, but definitely like a goal for this year is creating those outlets and, you know, doing the research to like find shows and find different things where I can have the space. But yeah, yeah, I guess, like, as we were saying, it is hard to, like, okay, like, I need to pay rent, so what do I have to do to pay rent? And oh then after that, like, I have to, like, different times to make, like, having the time and the space and the energy to make art when you don't have, like, okay, here's a show or here's a thing. But we just applied for a show with a few friends, so maybe that'll turn into something. So.
Oh, wonderful. Well, you know, I've seen your work, and it's really beautiful. And,
thank you.
And you know, this, you've done things in environments, in nature. Yeah. You've done it in different places in the world. And I think in some ways that's a kind of an affirmation, you know, for a young artist to have the work out there. And I think, I mean, that's a tribute to you and your tenacity. I mean, I think that's really, really important. You've cut, there's a risk in that.
Yeah.
And, you know, and some, you know, that risk is what really, I think a young person really needs to do. They got to put themselves in that pool.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes the waters are rough.
Yeah.
But, you know,
yeah.
But you know what I mean? I always had this analogy that the art world was like a shark tank, you know. But I mean, I think that's a tribute to your energy. I mean, in that you're willing to put it out there. And that's, I think a lot of young artists have that fear.
Oh,
of rejection,
absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I still have it. I mean, I really do.
Me too. I have all strategies not to allow that to get in my way. But it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. You don't know what to do with yourself. You get a postcard that says, "Not accepted," and then you, what do? You go kick the walls. You know, and then you have to just swallow it and go on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yep. I think that's really good advice. Uh-huh. You know? I mean, you do. There is a strength. You have to have that kind of that inner strength. And so I'm really excited about the second half of the show, you know, because we have a lot more questions for these young artists.
Uh-huh.
But anyway... Sheila, what are we going to do now?
We're going to take a little musical break, and we'll come back and talk about some specific ideas about what success might or might not be to these young artists. While we are taking a music break, go to our website and see how you can constructively contribute to this great community radio station. Get on tacomaradio.org and see the fabulous program schedule and the diverse kinds of programming we provide. And make a donation while you're on the web and be a part of this growing radio phenomenon at WOWDLP Tacoma Park. Your contributions and donations are tax deductible.
Well, if you want to sing out, sing out. And if you want to be free, be free. There's a million things to be, you know that there are. And if you want to live high, live high. And if you want to live low, live low. 'Cause there's a million ways to go, you know that there are. You can do what you want, the opportunity's on. And if you find a new way, then you can do it today. Then you can make it all true, and you can make it undo. You see, it's easy. You only need to know. Well, if you want to say yes, say yes. And if you want to say no, say no. 'Cause there's a million ways to go, you know that there are. And if you want to be me, be me. And if you want to be you. 'Cause there's a million things to do, you know that there are. You can do what you want. The opportunity's on. And if you find a new way, you can do it today. You can make it all true, and you can make it undo.
you see. Ah, it's easy. Ah, you only need to know. Well, if you want to sing out, sing out. And if you want to be free, be free. 'Cause there's a million things to be. You know that there are, 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 you know that there are.
So, welcome back. You're listening to WOWD Tacoma Park 94.3 FM. So Tom and I want to continue the conversation with our two special guests, and who are young artists, Eliza Wapner and Yanni Michalis. Eliza and Yanni, how do you define success as an aspiring artist? What does that look like to you?
Yeah, so I was thinking about this question. To do what you want and an audience, let's say. And kind of, yeah, the intersection between those two. And, yeah, I guess just like, yeah, having freedom to do what you want and having places to put it in the world and people to see it. And, yeah, I guess feeling good about yourself. And, yeah, I guess, you know, also being able to make it, as they say, or like survive would be great too. So.
Wow. How about you, Yanni?
That's the word I would put for it. It's exactly the same. It's a sustainability. If I could get to that point of being sustainable, making an income that I like, and I think on top of it, which is the next level, is if I can make it all honest, an honest expression that is me, not having to cater necessarily to being someone else because it would sell more. If my honest expression could make me sustainable, that would be quite the success. And that's kind of, that's the goal, I would say, yeah.
Wow, these are two very mature artists.
I'm telling you. I'm kind of stunned.
Sheila, they use these really wonderful ways. They're really very expressive in saying that. And it's this kind of, you know, the honesty and the truth of just communicating. I mean, Eliza, you know, said it beautifully. I mean, communicating the things that they want to communicate. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, getting people to listen or getting people to see. I mean, I think that's really, really a wonderful goal and a really good, to me, I mean, a really sound definition.
I do. Success. The idea of an audience is so... it's so much a part of making art. It's like when you're painting, or when I'm painting, I go up to the painting and then I do something I've decided to do. Then I step back. And the minute I step back, I'm the audience. And so it's sort of in the making of art that you're both the artist and the audience. Mm-hmm. And you keep going back and forth. But it sometimes can be scary. Seems like you guys don't have that. But to put your work out in front of people that you don't know, and you don't know what to do with that feedback either. But it's really important to, and how you get an audience, you know, any way you can. Any way you can.
I think, Sheila, you brought up a good point there about the feedback. Maybe we could jump in here. I mean, I like the way this show is going unscripted. Is what about feedback as young artists? What about criticism? How do you feel about that? I mean, this is something that, you know, I mean, in the old days, Sheila, I mean, you know, the professors and then people outside of college, I found them very brutal. And in some ways, that brutality kind of strengthened me and made me tougher. How about you guys? How do you feel about this whole world just looking at your stuff and being critical?
I think it's useful. Sometimes you need to fall to get back up stronger. It's adaptation. And especially with art, you need to go through a certain level of trauma, in my opinion, to make decent art. If you don't go through any high emotions, I think on both levels, there's the very intense negative emotions, and there's also the ecstasy on the other end of just that pure rejoice. And I think both levels can bring about very profound artwork. And so with that criticism, you need, I mean, I'll put it this way, you need constructive criticism. Negative criticism that's aimless, it can make you feel insecure for no reason whatsoever. And sometimes it's detrimental to your own health. But when you have people around you that are very honest with you, and I think this is why what makes a good professor is someone who really explains why they think your work is not good.
Well, not successful.
Not successful, sure, we'll put it that way.
Very good.
Yeah, I think feedback is really, really key to the process. And even in school, we didn't have, like, the professors were great, but they didn't give you that hard-hitting feedback that I think I thrived on. And when certain people would or certain professors would, it would really change my work and really, like, I would really grow from it. And I think that's another hard thing about, like, not always having an artist community, is that you don't get that feedback. And even if you put it in shows, it's like, you know, you go to an art show, people aren't like talking about the art the whole time. And I think feedback is really, really key. And like, even just like putting it out there as much as possible so people can see it and tell you what they think is like, is wonderful. And yeah, I definitely grow on it.
Yeah. And also, when you walk into an art space and you see your work on the wall, it's a different feeling. And it's so useful to see what you've done in an objective way. So it's just not only the people, your friends and your family, but it's also just so that you can see. And sometimes that is brutal.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Well, we had a show, Eliza and Yanni, we had a show many, oh, God, it's almost 2 years ago, Sheila. I remember criticism and critics. And I told the story about this art show. I was very serious. You know, it's an intense thing for an artist to have an opening and people. And this, I was talking about art with this little circle of people, and this guy burst into the circle and said, "Who made the meatballs? They're delicious." And I remember I was like, "This is an art show, not a cuisine, criticism." And it was so
culinary
inappropriate.
Arts.
What?
The culinary arts.
The culinary arts. Yeah. And so it's like, that's it. To maintain that level of almost creative sophistication. But let me ask this. I mean, I was wondering, like, this, like, these other tangential things in your life, besides, you know, music, and are there anything that enters into it, like maybe the political scene or the social change? Do you feel if any of those things enter into your work, you know, as a young person? Because I mean, these are the people that we really need. I mean, they're really important in the development of culture and society. Has anything else like that entered into your maybe mindset in art making?
Yeah, I would say definitely. I think especially my work seems to be very reflective of like my personal self. And I think that's hard to like separate from, you know, what's happening in the world and politics. And I think definitely most of my work kind of has this like slight political edge, but I think I like love that saying, like, the political is personal. So I think that like a lot of my work is kind of like a reflection of that, because like in the end we like only know ourselves, I think, the best. I also think there's this like fine line of, you know, making work to like say something about something and making work to be honest about, as Yanni said, like to be honest about something that you're feeling, or like how it affects you. And I almost think of like making work as writing essays, sort of. Like there are all these ideas and it's like it's pushed into this like object or like sculpture or whatever it is. I guess. Does that kind of,
oh my
kind
goodness,
of jumped around
it's
a bit?
So important in the history of art. How about you, Yanni?
So I wouldn't say politics as much. For me, is psychology is a big aspect of my artwork. And it's interesting because I think that also ties into graphic design, because graphic design is very much a psychological art form. It's all about how people look at your work and how it will affect the way they think in many different ways, be it a sponsor in a business, making people understand a brand in a certain way, utilizing colors. But the way that ties into my artwork is I love creating artwork that has many interpretations, many different, like almost like the ink blot test. I love creating pieces that will make someone feel one thing on a completely different spectrum than another person. And I think it ties up my love for psychology, but just how you can trigger many different emotions from many different people. I love the eclectic nature of art in that way.
Well, yeah, because psychology, you know, feeds into sociology. It feeds into, you know, other kinds of aspects of the social sciences. But, you know, I was thinking as our young artists were speaking about great paintings or great pieces of art, where that you see them as masterpieces, but they had a political bent. I mean, Guernica by Picasso is a fantastic example of that. In The Death of Marat by Jacques-Louis David, he's talking about, you know, the French monarchy and how they were assassinating all these young people. I mean, Goya, The Third of May, these are very politically charged masterpieces in the history of art, and they don't, you see them as a beautiful painting first, and then the underlying message comes through. I mean the list goes on and on, but I think that's an important thing for a young person, because it also sheds the fear factor, not to be afraid to express themselves about the socioeconomic political nature of their current life, because especially they're being molded in it. You know what I'm saying? They're being molded by the society. They're being, I mean, you know, in the 60s, you know, civil rights. I mean, and then, you know, we had, you know, ACT UP, the gay activism. I mean, there are, you know, so many sections of the history of this country that were really fueled a lot of amazing art.
Yeah.
You know, it's crucial.
Yeah, it is. When I was maybe just pretty young, the women's movement got started, and I would feel so like I so believe in women's rights, but I didn't understand how my art reflected that. And then somebody said to me, the fact that you are making this art is already a feminist statement. And I had to go with that, because it wasn't about feminism, but the fact that I became an artist, is it made me feel better, because I am not interested in kind of explicit, you know, explicit political art for myself. And so I have to feel, you know, one time, Tom, you said to me, there's a menacing quality of your art, and it's not anything I intend, but it is really there. Even though I'm doing kind of like what might be like landscape, still life, but there is that quality behind it. So I just have to trust that everything that's in me comes out.
I think the trust word. I mean, yeah. You know, that's so key. Maybe we can talk about technology for the young people, because, you know, I feel I'm a total dinosaur in the technology game, but social media, technology, how do you guys feel about these social platforms and possibly networking? Because to me, I see my students, they're so ahead of me on all this, and I know several young artists that really use the social networking on the internet and all as a real tool. How do you guys engage in that?
I was thinking about these questions last night. And I think what we were talking about earlier about like creating deadlines and stuff, I think social media offers this like kind of wild way to like stay accountable to yourself. Like when I started making clothes, I just made an Instagram for my clothing. And that was just a way to like, okay, now these people follow me, so let me like keep on showing them things. So it kind of creates this like, I don't know, like need or something that's not really there, but it inspires you to keep going. And I think it's also like built community and like for networking, as you said. Like I was going to be in Austin, and this Austin photographer reached out to me. So we had like a photo shoot for clothes, and just like, it's kind of this cool way to like build community and be inspired by people. And kind of just like put your art out there in a way that's different and not like so, so intense or so like has all this meaning, like a show or something. It's just like, it's in the internet, and who knows what that means, but it's still there, and it's still creating like sort of a, like a physical presence, which is kind of cool. I don't know. Oh, it's been helpful for me.
You know, I'm learning a lot today. Yeah. Sheila, how about you?
I have mixed feelings about the entire social media aspect. It is a fantastic way of communicating with a very massive audience, and if done right, the trick, in the word I used previously, is making it honest, is a very tricky thing within social media, because it adds psychological perspectives to it, because what do people click on?
Mm-hmm.
It is, we have a very instant gratification kind of system within social media, where the first thing that instantly catches your eye is the thing people will click on, and that will be what is successful necessarily. So it's this idea of how do you have this art. Now, how do you get it seen? How do you brand that image of it? How do you create a recognizable brand that people can get behind? I think that's the best thing about being an artist is being able to, you're the brand. You are the image people can follow. And of course, there's different levels to it, because some people don't even use their names for a clothing brand within it. But the trick is, and this is something I'm trying to learn within social media, because I keep going on and off social media. There's certain moments where I want to post every single day, constantly doing it, and then other moments where I feel intimidated by it, and I'll stop for like a month at a time. And I'm trying to find out this point. And I think another weird part about it is sometimes I feel like I'm in a cocoon, like I'm not yet that butterfly that sprouted, that can flash itself to everyone around me, where I'm like, the art I'm showing doesn't fully reflect me. So does it feel right for me to put it out into this world?
Oh,
philosophical discussions here, but
very poetic, yeah. I might say. Yeah. Also, did you want to kick in on that?
Oh, yeah, no, I think that's, yeah, I think I struggle with a lot of the things that you said too. And I think that, like, especially social media can also be like, yeah, one type of art, you see it a lot on there. And then it's hard to be like, okay, mine doesn't fit this, but. So I think, yeah, there are like a lot of dangers and a lot of like, it is hard to like still stick to what you're doing and not have it be like received by everybody in the same way. So, yeah, it's definitely challenging. But
you know, my nephew kind of grabbed me over the holiday and he said, you know, Uncle Tom, you know, you should go have an Instagram account. And of course, my answer was, you're kidding. And he goes, no, that's the way he gets his contacts. I mean, he's a graphic designer. And you know, I mean, Sheila, I was thinking about him. He was very serious about his efforts to get me educated. But I was almost like, is it too late? I mean, it's not too late.
Not too late.
I feel better already.
You can hire me to do it.
Now we figured it out. Okay. Well, no, we only have a few more minutes, but I wanted to ask our wonderful young artist about like the strategies for like, do you guys think about strategies for like 5 years, 10 years down the road? Do you think in that kind of mindset, does that kind of stuff across your mind? Because I remember, you know, when I told my father I was being an artist, and I can't say what he said on the air, what he thought about that idea. but I mean, he said, like, you know, aren't you going to have money in the bank in 10 years? I mean, you got to have a family. He had all these lists of, you know, wants for himself, never mind mine. Do you guys think in that mindset? How do you see yourselves down the road in 5 years, 10 years, and in a global world? That's another thing. How do you see yourselves?
Something I'm really passionate about is learning, of course, about how I can express, how can I do this. But something I love, and I think it ties into the extrovert nature of my art, I love helping other people express themselves. And so going through college, I'm kind of very concerned, like, oh my God, what kind of market can I be in? And graphic design was always this marketable concept to me. But it was towards the end where I realized, I think the passion I could find is helping other people around me make artwork, be able to express themselves and nurture themselves essentially through their own creative expression. So what I'm working with now, and within this year actually, is going to graduate school to go to art therapy. And within art therapy, I hope to A, continue to develop myself as an artist, put things out and that other people can feel, because that is my own expression. I think a personal expression can be a very powerful thing, but it's also helping other people do that very same thing. It creates a web of nurturing expression. I use the word expression a lot, but I think it's just very spot on to what I'm trying to go for.
Oh, wonderful. So he has a kind of school back in the future in art therapy. And Eliza, how about yourself?
Yeah, this is definitely a question that I think about a lot. I am not sure what the 5-year plan looks like. I think...
Neither are we.
Yeah. Yeah, I think right now I'm kind of like testing out a bunch of different things and hoping that something works and something kind of inspires something to stick or to just keep going in a bunch of different directions. But yeah, I've also thought about like going back to school for art therapy, art teaching. And I think what you said about like helping others express themselves, I think I really love that too. And also like helping other people find each other and like creating community through art is really, I work for this place called Femme Fatale, which is like a business collective for women artists. And I love doing that and being able to like help people kind of find their own voice. So I don't know. There's a lot of things going on, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Lissy, I also wanted to ask you, because I know that you've just moved into a space. So could you talk about it just for a moment?
So I just moved into an art space by Rhode Island Avenue called Hole in the Sky. And I've only been there like a month, so I feel like I can't really talk about how it's been so far, but it's kind of cool. We all have a shared studio space and then little bedrooms off of it. And they have events. So yeah, it's been really interesting to kind of like try to meet people. And I have a collaboration with a flower shop coming up to dye stuff. So that happened through there. And, so I think, yeah, so far it's been really nice. And also I moved out of my family's house, so having my own space has been really key. So we'll see. But it's kind of cool that these places do exist and do exist within DC. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to exploring them more.
Well, I think that talks to her ability to take risk. I mean, I think that's a wonderful thing. It's a really mature thing. And that's, hats off to you again in that.
Yeah, well, I remember when I was young, and it was a question with me of when I could call myself an artist. It's a very tricky question, because it's easy to say I'm an art student, but then what is it? And I had a friend who said, I just have to make 5 really awful paintings and then I'll get started. And that was really great. But how to get other people to take me seriously? People ask me, do you have a gallery? Do you sell your work? Those questions, they don't say, like, what have you found in your work, or can I see it? No, it's about, do you make money from your art? So, people, if I say I'm an artist, they say, my mom was an artist, but she stopped working when I was born. And these kind of responses, they make me cringe. And even now, I struggle with how to be taken seriously. Of course, it's better. And, if I've been teaching, which I have been, not recently, but if I say, I teach at Duke. That was a big deal. Everybody looks at me like, wow, Duke. But that was so little of what I'm about. And so I can, I have a website, and that's very important. And I also have, as I said, I have friends in now with social media. I could just put a painting on social media and get feedback. Or ship it to my friend on the phone. It's great. So, but to me, what I really want, and I think I'm getting it there, is to see my paintings out in the world and be really proud, really astonished at what I've done. And that's a great goal to have.
Absolutely. It's a wonderful goal, Sheila. And thanks for sharing that. Well, you know, this conversation with these two young artists and, you know, starting their career has been so exciting to me. I actually feel about 20 years younger just listening to them with their energy. And you know, success is a really sticky word for the young and old alike. And I think that's something that we have to kind of grapple with. But we'd like to thank Yanni McAllis and Eliza Singerman Wapner for taking their time to come to WOWDLP Tacoma Park to express themselves. And guys, you did it beautifully. I mean, these are young aspiring artists that are a vibrant part of a community, Tacoma Park and elsewhere. And I think that's really important. And we hope you've enjoyed the show. Well, Sheila, tell our listeners a little about our upcoming shows.
Sure. Well, also, we are going to have more shows like this with mid-career artists and older artists. I just have to say, you guys are amazing. You're so articulate, and it's so clear. It's a wonderful thing. So in the new year, there's going to be a blockbuster show, if the museum ever opens, on Tintoretto.
Yeah.
And he's a great painter from Venice, and he gives us an interesting look at Italian painting and drawing from northern Italy. He was a powerhouse artist in painting and in drawing, and our show, next show, will concentrate on how good drawing always makes for good painting.
Well, thanks for everything, and experience art and the visual and anything you do, and thanks for listening, and thanks again to our guests.
Time after time, done my sentence, but committed no crime, and bad mistakes.